Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. Today, I'm with Rod Cherkis. Rod, welcome.
Thank you, Scott. How are you today?
So it's great to have Rod here today. I was thinking about, so far, I've done 30 of these, and Rod has probably known me longer than anybody else. Rod and I worked together at Intuit and Marketo. There's probably someplace else I haven't thought of yet, but Rod always seems to be following me or I'm following him, which is probably more the case. Rod currently is the founder of Hello CCO, and you guys are going to hear about a new book that he just finished and is almost on the press, is almost hot off the press. It's called The Chief Customer Officer Playbook. Rod, do you want to give us a little insight into the book?
Yeah, Scott, it's great to talk with you and your audience today. We've known each other for a long time and have followed each other's careers, and I'm excited to have a chance to have this dialogue. So I've been writing a book called The Chief Customer Officer Playbook with a subtitle of 8 strategies to help you accelerate your career and win you a seat at the executive table. And it's a book for chief customer officers and also people who aspire to be chief customer officers, with a set of strategies that lays out the skills that these leaders need to develop and master in order to be successful in that role. And it's particularly relevant for your audience because a lot of customer marketers, a lot of folks in customer advocacy can think of themselves as continuing to grow into increasingly senior leaders in these customer-facing organizations. And so I think they'd find that these tips and strategies that I lay out in the book are very relevant to help them grow their own careers. And that'll be out in late January. Very excited about it.
Nice, nice. I need some reading material soon because, we're approaching the holidays here. I do want to talk to you about the role of the chief customer officer. And I'm actually thinking of doing something a little bit different. Maybe we could jump into that. Usually I ask people about their journeys, but I think it's just such a hot topic, if you're okay with that.
Absolutely.
So tell me, you are interacting with all these different companies, and you see these different models for a chief customer officer. What are some of the models out there, or how would you define it?
Yeah. Like, for about the last 12 years, I've been a post-sale executive at a number of fast-growing software companies. And in the last 2 years, I started this consulting business working with chief customer officers and their post-sale teams. And one of the things that I've noticed over time is that the role of the chief customer officer is still relatively new in terms of sort of C-suite positions. Sometimes it's called chief customer officer. Sometimes it's at a VP or SVP level. But what it's often responsible for are the set of customer-facing functions that help customers get set up and start using their software. It's often a professional services or implementation team, a support organization that provides sort of reactive support to make sure customers are able to use the product successfully. There's a function that's developed relatively recently in the last 5 to 8 years called customer success management that's often focused on helping customers with renewals and adoption and making sure that they're seeing value from the solutions. And there are often some other organizations like community, customer education, sometimes customer marketing, customer operations that all fit into the scope of the chief customer officer's role. Not every company has that, but it's something that we're seeing increasingly more of in technology companies and lots of other companies in different industries.
So what's driving that? I mean, you're talking about how it's more common. I'm just curious to why now.
Yeah. Well, I think over the past decade, one of the things that's changed is that the software model has moved from being a one-time purchase that maybe had a services contract to something that in a recurring revenue model or a subscription model that the software vendors have to keep demonstrating the value of their solution, or the customer may turn their solution off, they may churn, or they might move to a competitor's offering. And so companies started to realize that it's very important to have a coordinated customer-facing approach to the customer's life cycle. And this became the responsibility of a single leader that could potentially work across all of these functional teams, create a coordinated strategy, have a single set of financial metrics and business metrics that often relates to retention rates, expansion within existing systems. There's often cost of delivery metrics. And then is basically helping to be the face of the customer into the organization. And so this function has evolved into this very interesting and what I believe is a super exciting chief customer officer type of role.
And how does, like, there are all these different groups that are customer facing. So I'm just curious of how these companies are handling it. I mean, theoretically, everybody should be have a customer mindset. So, but you know, you have customer, I call it the, you have the customer support, customer success, customer marketing. They all are called customers. So do they all report to the chief customer officer?
I don't know that if you have just customer in your name, that it automatically means that you have to, you know, report into a chief customer officer or someone in that role. But I think it definitely gives an indication that it's moving, in that direction. You know, what had been missing in the past is a coordinated strategy around how to develop a thoughtfully designed set of customer experiences. I mean, even going back to the time that you and I, Scott, worked at Intuit, one of the innovations that Intuit drove, right, that's the maker of QuickBooks and TurboTax, is the software had to be very easy for people to use. And the founder there, Scott Cook, helped put in place some research mechanisms, Follow Me Homes, you know, usability labs to watch what people are doing. Well, what started to happen is, like, even when I was there, one of my big ahas was you could apply that same experience design principle to services touch points, whether that was an implementation, whether it was getting support, whether it was engaging on a renewal, whether it was working with others in a community environment, that you could have that same thoughtful experience design. And so this senior customer-facing role, this potentially chief customer officer role, was responsible for coordinating the design of all of those sort of customer-facing post-sale experiences. So it has a very wide scope. Now, one of the things that's interesting about it too is that the chief customer officer now is responsible for the business outcomes of these interactions. So they now have the commercial responsibilities of renewal rates, sometimes expansion rates, you know, support expenses, operational efficiency and services teams. And they have lots of people in their organization, but they can't always affect all of those results. So they need to be able to work cross-functionally. And I think this is one of the things that we probably want to talk about today is how do the functional teams under chief customer officer work with other groups like sales, like marketing, and in situations where the CCO isn't, you know, directly managing customer marketing or community or the advocacy teams, how do those teams collaborate to achieve the customer, you know, the company-wide goals that are set for the business?
Yeah, I remember at Intuit, customer-driven innovation was a key term. And I highly recommend that people Google it and go back in time and look at it, because what we're talking about today, you know, here at Base, for example, we talk about being customer-led. And for us, what that means is historically, retention has been dispersed across the company. Now it's, you know, kind of consolidated under customer marketing, but then the next generation is to be customer-led and giving customers what I call a seat at the table and being I like to use the term co-piloting, but after doing a survey on LinkedIn, they tell me co-creating is better, co-innovating with your customers. So I think it's this is a huge opportunity. And I think I hear what you're saying from, you know, coming from where you're at, that customer-driven innovation has carried through, and or you're hoping that carries through for the customer, the chief customer officer, in the same way that we're trying to do it on the base side. The challenge is, as you pointed out, is to work cross-functionally. And, you know, we see again on LinkedIn, everybody talking about working cross-functionally. But when I look at the data and research, people are struggling. So like if I'm a customer marketer and I work with somebody in customer success and I have to work with sales and product, what are some of the things that you would recommend from a cross, you know, cross-functional perspective, teamwork perspective?
Yeah. You know, I talk a little bit about this in my book, The Chief Customer Officer Playbook, that outlines a set of strategies that, you know, evolving leaders can use to potentially develop skills that would make them a good chief customer officer. And one of the skills that I talk about, one of these eight skills, is about building strong cross-functional relationships and being able to drive company-wide initiatives that leverage resources across the company. And so this collaboration, for example, between a customer success leader and a customer marketer is really important, because the business outcome might be either expanded usage of a particular offering or capability in the product or service that you have, or it might be the identification of expansion opportunities so that people find out about, you know, other products and offerings that you have and can add them on. But each group has very unique skill sets that I believe they should be working more together. So for example, when I think about the skill sets of customer marketers, you know, they are potentially really good at understanding and creating messages that get people to take action. They understand the product capabilities. They potentially have expertise and access to marketing automation solutions that enable very personalized communication, but that don't require interaction of a live individual. What's happening now in the customer success function is there's a lot of pressure that these teams are facing to be able to scale and support growth, but either by keeping their headcount flat, or in some cases, they've been losing headcount. I think we're going to see that in this current budgeting cycle. There's a lot more pressure to be able to tie the results to the resources. And so this is a great opportunity that customer success leaders should be reaching out to customer marketers to see how they can be automating communication to customers, to get them to take action, to get them to use certain features, to get them to become aware of or purchase expansion solutions, so that the company can grow, right? Retain more customers, grow the revenue per customer, but where it doesn't necessarily require the cost of a high cost CSM.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because I think one of the challenges for customer marketing is they're not being evaluated at the account level, right? So the customer success person, correct me if I'm wrong, right? Their manager's looking at a scoreboard, a metrics, a dashboard, et cetera, saying, how is this person managing that account? And customer marketing is doing it at such a macro level that it's kind of, you know, it's hard to like go to think about the root cause, something we talked a lot about it into it. Well, you know, if you're hitting your numbers, how do you look at, if you're not hitting your numbers, how do you look at the root cause? And it might be because of some key accounts, for example. Yeah. So one of the big points for me is the shared metrics model. Like I have worked at many big companies and I kind of am banging my head against the wall a lot, because customer success has their metrics, customer marketing has their metrics, and somebody else, and but they're all the same customers or same accounts.
Yeah. I think it is challenging when organizations have have different metrics. At the C level, the chief customer officer's goals should very much align to company goals, which are related inevitably to potentially retention rates, margin, expansion, sometimes called net retention. And I think that then creates this alignment. One of the things I talk about in my book and I work on with my clients is how to make processes repeatable and scalable. Right. This concept of repeatable results. And, you know, when I think about the times in my career that I've struggled with that is when I wasn't able to work cross-functionally to help learn, right? I think about my time at RingCentral, where we were getting into an enterprise business, and my experience was in sort of the SMB and mid-market. And I wasn't thinking about what I could learn from other people at RingCentral that had more experience in enterprise business or going out and talking to peers. And so that caused me to have some career challenges, where as the company got into this new area, I wasn't the appropriate person to help take them to that. And I think that customer success leaders and CCOs may be in that same position where now that they're being asked to think about improving sort of the cost of delivery to grow and adopt, that they need to be thinking more about how they can leverage peers within their company, like the customer marketers or expertise from outside. And this automation and scalability of communications, I believe, is a huge lever that the teams should be thinking about more. And so I think that helps them get it to the appropriate level in the organization of strategy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the space we play in. So for example, there's marketing automation, there's sales automation. So we have what I'll call customer marketing automation and being able to automate, personalize, customize messages. And it was nice to hear recently, you know, the customer success team say, can you leverage that tool, you know, for the customer success sort of activities, right? Yeah. Because even though customer success, so a lot of people think of it as just one-to-one relationships, it's a lot more than that, right? Because it's you have many people on an account. I remember like in Marketo, I was working closely with the customer success people who managed Adobe. And she's like, I need automation because she had like 200 people at Adobe that she had to interact with. So I think there is a huge opportunity for that automation play across the life cycle that can create those personalized and customized messages. And then also tying that to your CRM for attribution and attribution.
Yeah. I think there's a role that the customer marketers can play also in reaching out to their internal peers to identify ways that they can help them. When I was writing the book, one of the people I talked to was David Sakamoto at GitLab. And he was telling me a story about how earlier in his career, he would go and talk to his internal stakeholders, try to understand their needs, and then share with them ideas about how he could be successful in helping them achieve their outcomes. I would bet a lot of customer success, managers and directors aren't even thinking about, hey, who else in the organization has skill sets that can help me achieve these goals that I'm now starting to see coming out of my budgeting process? They just might not have thought about it before, right? Think about how many people work at a company and, you know, how you develop those relationships. So I would encourage customer marketers with this skill set to go out and think of them as customers and think about, hey, here are the skills I could bring, or here's some of like sort of my offerings. Would you like to buy my offerings? Would you like me to help you solve this problem and come up with some of those collaborative ideas that that will help solve these joint business challenges? I bet that they would be very amenable to at least having that discussion and potentially getting that help.
It reminds me, and I think you'll appreciate this story. When we were at Marketo, marketing was like on the third floor and product was on the second floor. I forget where customer success was. I think you're on the same floor as product. And people started asking me, where's Wilder? Like, where am I during the day? And I wasn't at Starbucks or anything like that. But what I would do is I'd spend one day a week, 2 days a week sitting with the product team and then sitting with the customer support team. And it was incredible because, you know, I was working on community then. So customer support was obviously really key to that. But then I started thinking about community as a product. And so there's great synergies between the product team, et cetera. Now I probably should have gone to your office more and talked to customer success, but I'll do that next time.
But I think that's a great point, Scott, of how does an evolving leader develop important relationships with their peers? And some of it's being present. When I worked at Marketo, like you mentioned, we were on the floor with the product and support team. But one day a week, we would have a couple people from our customer enablement and education organization that would physically sit on the sales floor to be present with them, to be listening with them, to be developing those relationships, overhearing, you know, customer interactions. So one, we better understood what some of their challenges were. And then two, we could start to develop those tighter relationships where they felt like we were equally invested in helping them to bring in their new customers, right? We had an offering. It wasn't just we took their customers after they signed, but we had an offering. We could provide our expertise to help them close deals more efficiently. Now, that's a little bit more challenging in this remote Zoom environment. So I'd encourage people to make sure that you're making time to identify those leaders in the organization that are sort of important to these business goals, and then find ways for you each to get to know each other.
Yeah, another skill, I don't know if you remember Elliot Ng from Intuit. Was he at Intuit? Yes, he was at Intuit. And my first day that I was at Intuit, he basically sat down with me in an org chart, and he highlighted all the people that he wanted me to meet with in my first week. And then all the people he wanted me to be close with by the time, you know, by Christmas, which was like 4 months later. And it was great, because just that taking that action, you know, it's the classic, write it down and it's going to happen.
Right. Yep. It's kind of.
I've seen this term pop up recently. Our friend Amy at Ironclad has used it, called digital success. Mm-hmm. And I also have noticed that Slack uses it as well. What do you know about the term digital success, or the group digital success? And is that really taking customer success and moving to that one-to-many interaction?
Yeah, well, I think the term has come up to mean how one provides sort of ongoing, automated, potentially digital through email or through webinars or other one-to-many communications to customers. So, you know, back when this customer success management function, you know, really started to take off about 5 or 6 years ago, there was this concept that there was a customer success manager, a person who was responsible for building relationships with a particular set of clients and then having some type of operating cadence with them to help them get enabled on a product or solution, make sure they were recognizing value, help make sure that the retention and renewals were happening on time. But that was a very high touch approach, very labor intensive approach. And that seemed to work for a pretty long time and for lots of different customer segments. What started to happen is you can't scale that type of high touch attention to your entire customer base. On top of that, in the last year, as the economy has shifted and companies are much more aware of sort of conserving cash, the ability to have that high touch experience has become a little bit under pressure. And companies are now needing to focus on lower cost, sort of lower cost per customer ways of providing that same type of communication and value. So companies have started shifting toward this sort of digital, sometimes called digital touch or sometimes called tech touch. You know, back when we were at Marketo, it was just, you know, automated communications, one-to-many communications, whatever you call it. But this concept of how do you create this very personalized approach in a rigorous sort of data-driven way? And this is where I believe customer marketers can be incredibly helpful. I'm not sure that the leader of potentially a digital-led team in the customer success management team is somebody that used to be a customer success manager. I think that's more the skill set of somebody that used to be a demand gen marketer or a customer marketer, where they bring this skill set of creating very personalized communications at scale.
I completely agree. And I wish that they would remove the word success and find another word, because that creates a different behavior, makes people think, yeah, it's customer success. So, I mean, I like this idea. I think, you know, what Amy was trying to do at Ironclad was bring customer success and customer marketing together and kind of have that neutral name, you know, so that they could work better. Are there any other kind of key trends that you're seeing in the marketplace when it comes to customer-led behavior, customer-first interactions?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of my clients. I provide consulting services to companies, to fast-growing companies, to help them scale their post-sale or customer-facing operations. I advise many chief customer officers or sort of newly placed VPs on how to grow and scale and develop the skills that they need to deliver this their customer-facing results at scale. And one of the trends that I'm seeing out of this budget cycle is that there's a lot of focus on being much more cost-efficient in how companies deliver their post-sale experiences, whether it's these CSM teams or success management or their implementation services. And I think that has a lot of impact on the potential role that customer marketers and, you know, customer advocate leaders and community leaders can have in the organization, because the, you know, the CCO or the VP, whoever's in charge of the post-sale teams, is not going to be able to hire as many, you know, individuals to have those one-to-one high-touch interactions. So they're going to need to leverage these one-to-many experiences that community, education, customer marketing, you know, has the ability to help drive. So I think this is, you know, this is one change. Another change that I'm seeing is the customer-facing teams are becoming much more focused and expected to deliver on commercial outcomes. So it's no longer enough that, you know, the customer success management teams are responsible for driving like adoption, which is often kind of hard to measure, or improving net promoter score, which is a good metric, but has so many inputs to that. They're now being asked to be focused on retention rates or expansion rates, which are much more quantifiable, or the operating margins or the cost to deliver. And so this trend also is sort of right in line with, you know, the skill set of customer marketers who can help create some of that operational efficiency that's actually driving the metrics that we just talked about.
And how do you, it's kind of a funny question to ask, but I feel like a lot of people in the customer marketing place aren't up to speed on a lot of the terms that you threw out, you know, and just because they're right. There's a lot of people who are in customer marketing and they're early in their career, right? So they haven't had the mentorship, the guidance or whatever in terms of understanding about like, how do you analyze, you know, retention, or how do you analyze, you know, margins and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you find the same thing in customer success. I feel like, you know, customer success has been around a little bit longer. So I'm just curious of, you know, when you work with clients and if you encounter that, and how do you coach them on that? I mean, it sounds very simple, but I think it's a really key thing.
Yeah. I think you're bringing up a great point, which is one of the reasons that I felt compelled to write this upcoming book, The Chief Customer Officer Playbook, is because there's not really one single place that provides an overview of what's expected from a post-sale leader or, you know, managers and evolving directors that maybe want to take on, you know, a post-sale executive role later in their career. There wasn't a place that really was clear about what metrics are expected to be delivered from that organization. There was nothing in place that described sort of the strategies or skills that individuals needed to be able to develop through their careers so that they could, you know, repeat in a very repeatable and predictable way, achieve these outcomes. So I think you'll find that, you know, if you read when the book comes out, it's going to provide some of these overviews of what are these metrics? What are the expectations for the role? What are the skills to develop? And also like a very easy to apply set of tactics. Like, hey, if I'm a manager, what skills should I be working on and thinking about? If I'm a director or VP, what are those skills? And then when I'm at sort of an executive or C-level, what should I be expected to do along this concept of a maturity curve?
It's great that you mentioned that. So I think in 2023, we're going to have a lot of live webinars, live sessions, and I'd love to get you back on because Peter Mahoney wrote a really good book, The Next CMO. And basically what he's teaching a course in the CLG campus around what does a customer marketer need to do to prepare to be a CMO? And I know it sounds, you know, he gets into like at the macro level in terms of skills, but also at the micro level, for example, you know, us as junior marketers tend to go in and show our business plan to the C-level guy. And the C-level guy is like, just show me the numbers. Show me where you were, right? And that sound, show me where you were and where you are today and where you're going. And it sounds very simple, but a lot of us make, including me, rookie mistakes where we want to show our boss everything, right? And our boss just doesn't have time to see everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm now envisioning the series. He's going to do a webinar as well. He did the podcast. He's doing a webinar, doing a course. So when he does the next CMO, maybe we can have a, you know, a double header and we can do the next CCO and you can share, you know, insights from your book.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the names I considered for the book is the new CCO. But I think it's really around that concept of what's expected in the future. And your point about, you know, being clear about what the skills are is important to, you know, customer marketing leaders, customer advocacy leaders, community leaders that are building out those capabilities. What do they listen for? And how do they do things and acquire these skills that make their, outcomes more predictable, right? A lot of times what I see in evolving leaders is even when they have delivered good financial results or good business results, they can't always point to specific things that they did that actually drove those outcomes. And if they can't explain the connection and feel confident about it, just think about their, you know, their manager or the CEO who's equally skeptical. So one of the things I hope that I do in my consulting practice, and I hope people will, you know, think about in the book is like, where are individuals in their career development in terms of like being able to, in a very repeatable, you know, predictable way, deliver those outcomes, right? The other end, they may not have the skills and they're sort of like kind of winging it all the time, move along, and then they're working really hard and they're getting these outcomes, but they can't necessarily point to, you know, what's driving it, right? And so where are they in this continuum? And how do you move along toward, you know, hey, I've got an approach. It's going to work, and you know your leadership team feels more successful. I think that's what people think of an individual at executive level is not only can they deliver it, but they can also deliver it next year.
Yeah, and listening to you again, it reminds me of something at Intuit, and I've been talking to a few Intuit people lately. So all these Intuisms are in my head, solving for the big why.
Uh-huh.
You remember the big why? And you had to be really aware of what the inputs were. It was kind of an algebraic equation. You know, what were the X's leading to the Y?
Yes. What were the inputs?
Well, Rod, I could go on. I had lots of questions here, but I want to be sensitive to everybody's time. I always like to ask two things at the end. One is there anything I haven't asked you today that you're like, damn, Wilder, why didn't you ask me?
I think the one thing I would just point out is the question about like, you know, what's holding customer marketers and customer advocacy leaders back from taking, you know, more proactive, steps to have a bigger impact on their company results. And I think that, that the skill sets of those, leaders have is super important right now. Particularly as companies need to focus on retaining and growing from within their existing customer base. It's increasingly challenging for many companies to bring in new customers. And so the skill sets around understanding existing customers, communicating with those customers and getting them to take the actions that companies want them to is a really big opportunity for customer marketers and customer advocate leaders to be able to shine over the coming years.
Totally agree. And, you know, LinkedIn pointed out in their research that, you know, customer marketing is the second fastest growing. This was before all the layoffs, but the second fastest growing, you know, role, or position. And so I do think, you know, there's a huge opportunity for customer marketers to help companies be more efficient. And also, you know, partner internally to ensure that kind of, scaled customer facing, role in the company. Last question. So I've known you for many years. Who or what has been the biggest influence on your professional career? Like who or what book or what moment You know, I always like to ask people what's really influenced them in terms of their professional lives.
I would say that when I meet an inspiring leader that helps me to develop skills and that provides me with authentic feedback, that is, you know, that's something that I remember. And there was a leader that I had at Marketo named Jason Holmes, who was later the chief customer officer at Marketo and the president at Showpad, is that, you know, he gave me opportunities, he challenged me, but he also gave me, you know, very specific actionable feedback that I could, you know, sort of leverage in my career, right? He would help me identify, you know, who I needed to build relationships with. You know, you mentioned that person, you know, one of your old managers said, go meet this person, that person. He was supportive of me taking risks. And when they didn't work out, sort of encouraging me to continue that. And so I would, you know, I would encourage your listeners to be thinking about, you know, who are those people that are not just telling you what works, but also giving you direction and feedback on how you can improve yourself. Sometimes you get that from someone you work with. Communities now really create that as well, of learning best practices. You don't need to think that you can figure this out yourself. The skill that is important to develop is how do you assimilate information from lots of different places so that you can best make the decisions that relate to your own business.
Magic. I love it. I met Jason, was great. So, Rod, thanks again for joining us today. And I'm going to recruit you for a webinar probably in 2023, if that's okay.
Happy to come back, you know, and I encourage your listeners, please follow me on LinkedIn. Take a look at my book, The Chief Customer Officer Playbook, when it comes out in late January. And if you ever want to talk, I'd be happy to talk with you about your opportunities at your business. I provide consulting and advisory services to, you know, lots of companies in the software industry and also other industries to help support their growth and make sure that it's repeatable. So thanks so much, Scott.
Awesome. And we're going to put your book in the CLG library, the campus library. So anyway, so thank you again. And everybody, this has been a customer-led groove. You can find us on the CLG campus, Apple, Spotify, Alexa. I hope it doesn't go on when I say it. And also, you know, a lot of people in my role like to say, just come and like us. I don't like to say that. As everybody knows, I like to say, listen to these podcasts, watch the video casts. I don't know if you heard Alexa, but she was in the background. But instead of liking us, just listen, watch, and then play it forward and share it with somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer Led Groove.